Amen. I'm on. 1 Samuel chapter 30. 1 Samuel chapter 30. How many of you ever had a bad day? Come on, let's be honest. Every hand should be up. Amen. I like that, brother. I titled this message, From Tears to Joy. I'm going to tell you how you turn your worst day into your best day. Is that okay as I leave you here today? How many of you know the story of Ziklag and David? Well, let's read the story together and we'll go down through here and find out what happened here. 1 Samuel chapter 30, it says here in the first verse, let's start at the first verse. It says, Now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south, and Ziklag attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken captive the women and those who were there, from small to great. They did not kill anyone, but carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was, burned with fire. Their wives and their sons and their daughters had been taken captive. Look at verse 4. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. Ever been there? And David's two wives, Abinadab and Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal the Carmelite, had been taken captive. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people were grieved, every man for his own sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. And I think the King James says encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Am I right? Yeah. Then David said to Abiathar the priest, Abimelech's son, bring the ephod here to me. And Abiathar brought the ephod to David. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, Shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, Pursue, for you shall surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. Remember that verse. Without fail recover all. So David went, he and his 600 men who were with him, and came to the brick Besor, where those stayed were left behind. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 stayed behind, who were so weary that they could not cross the brook Besor. Then they found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David. And they gave him bread and he ate, and they let him drink water. And they gave him a piece of a cake of figs and two clusters of raisins. So when he had eaten, his strength came back to him, for he had not eaten no bread nor drunk any water for 3 days and 3 nights. Then David said to him, To whom do you belong and where are you from? And he said, I'm a young man from Egypt, servant of an Amalekite, and my master left me behind because 3 days ago I fell sick. We made an invasion of the southern area of the Jezreelites in the territory which belongs in Judah, and of the southern area of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire. And David said to him, Can you take me down to this troop? So he said, Swear to me by God that you will neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will take you down to this troop. And when they had brought him down, there they were spread out over all the land, eating, drinking, and dancing, because of the great spoil which they had taken from the land of the Philistines and from the land of Judah. Then David attacked them from twilight until evening of the next day. Not a man of them escaped except 400 young men who rode on camels and fled. So David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives. And nothing of theirs was lacking, either small or great, sons or daughters, spoil or anything which they had taken from them. David recovered all. What a story. Amen. Glory to God. This is a wonderful story. But first, let's paint a picture in your mind what took place here. These men have been at war, and they're tired and they're weary, and they want to go home to see their wives and their sons and their daughters. And it's about a 3 days ride across the hillside. And when they get close to Ziklag, they see flames shooting in the air. And when they get there, everything has burned to ashes. Everything has been taken from them. nothing is left. And this is what the Bible, I just read it to you. These, brothers and sisters, listen to me. These are the elite. These are the Navy SEALs of Israel. The best of the best. And they literally fell off their horses on their knees. And they wept. So the Bible says they had no more power to weep. Ever been there? Ever been there? Every one of us here, I believe, had an Ziklag experience sometime or another. You wept and you wept and you wept. You thought there wasn't another tear, and here comes another and another. We've all been there. But I've got good news. Glory to God. I said I've got good news. Let's just look at some Bible characters who've had Ziklag experiences. Look at Joseph in the pit. How many of you know the story of Joseph? To me, it's the greatest story in the Bible. 13 chapters devoted to one man. Did you ever think about that? One day he's his father's favorite son. The next day he's going into Egypt with nothing but the clothes on his back. Think about that. He's sold into Egypt. He's sold a second time into Potiphar's house. And there lives a woman who goes after Joseph. She got desperate. You're going to go to bed with me. He looked towards heaven and he said, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Now remember, brothers and sisters, this is what? A 17, 18 year old. Do the math. She came out there in her birthday suit. He could have said, you know what? I owe this to myself. But he didn't do that. He said, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And he ran out the door, and you know the rest of the story. She tore his shirt off his back and screamed, rape, rape, rape. And for the next 12 years, he went to prison for doing what's right. But if you read that story, it says, then the Lord was with him, and the Lord was with him. 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 This morning we talked about forgiveness. You know the story. When finally he had all 11 standing right in front of him. 11 brothers. He could have cut their heads off. Burned their ashes. Thrown it to the wind and said, singing victory in Jesus. But he didn't do that, did he? The Bible says he wept so loud that they could hear him through the whole castle, and he revealed himself who he really was. I am your brother Joseph. My point is this. He stood up for what's right, and he had an unbelievable Ziklag experience. Ever been there? Look what's happening in the Middle East. I don't know if you keep track of what's happening in the Middle East to our brothers and sisters who are being killed daily for the sake of Jesus Christ. Look at Job. The Bible says there was no man found like him. He was blameless, upright, and he feared God and he shunned evil. His 10 children have just recently died. His wealth is gone. His health is fading away. And now he has a wife that's got a tongue sharp enough to skin a cow. Why don't you just curse God and die? With friends like that, who needs enemies? Hello? Get the picture. He's scraping pus from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, covered with boils. Story doesn't end there, does it? You go to the end of the book of Job, he got everything back twice. He was a man of God. Look at Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's on his knees and he's pleading, God, would you let this cup pass from me? Let it pass. This is horrible. would you let it pass? Not once, not twice, but three times he asked, God, would you remove this cup from me? It was not possible to remove the cup. And Jesus Christ endured the worst day of his life. Yeah. Peter, who said, I'll go to prison with you, Jesus. I'll die for you, Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, Simon, Simon, oh, glory to God. Satan has desired to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith fail not. And when you come back to me, go and strengthen your brothers. Brothers and sisters, I've got good news for you today. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care what you're going through. I want to tell you something. You can have your daddy praying for you. You can have your mother praying for you. You can have your sister praying for you. You can have anybody praying for you, your pastor praying for you. But when you've got Jesus praying for you, it doesn't get any better than that. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. That's the way it is. I got great news for you. Jesus hasn't forgotten you. He knows what you're going through. He knows what you're dealing with. And he's praying for you. I mean, to tell you, if that doesn't give you goosebumps, what will? Amen? Glory to God. I call them, hallelujah, hallelujah. Irvin used to call them glory bumps. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Look at Paul. He wrote most of this New Testament not from the penthouse, from the jailhouse. Hear what I said. Remember the story back in Acts? Paul and Silas were thrown into prison. They didn't get on their pity pot, suck their thumb, and quit the church. And you know what, brothers and sisters? Many times, brothers and sisters of the church say, well, if it's going to be like this, I'm just out of here. Come on. Am I right? What did they do? They began to sing. The Bible says rejoice always. And again I say rejoice. They began to sing praises to God. They were in stocks and they were fastened with stocks. And believe you me, these prisons back then weren't like the prisons we go into, Brother Joe. Dark, deep dungeons, probably rats. Who knows what's in those prisons? But they began to sing praises to God. And what was the result of that? They came out the next morning with the jailhouse keys in one hand and a convert in the other. Oh, glory, hallelujah. They didn't get on their pity pot and quit the church. You know what? When you get on your pity pot and you always say, oh, I just don't know why I'm going through this. And you get on your pity pot, flush it. I said, flush it. Right now. And start singing praises to God. The best thing you can do, for my own personal experience, I want to tell you something. The best thing you can do when you're at Ziklag and you're going through something and you just don't understand, God, you're a million miles away. God, where are you? You know what you can do that'll bring your joy and peace back? Go bless somebody. Go do something for somebody else. Go bless somebody. Go to the hospital. Go to the nursing home. Do something for somebody else and just bless them and see what that'll do for your spirit. Amen. It's not as bad as you think it is. Amen? Praise God. Look what Paul said. 5 times I've been beaten to a bloody pulp by a cat of nine tails. 3 times I've been beaten with rods. One night adrift at sea, faced danger from floods and rivers and robbers. I have lived in weariness and pain. Nights with no sleep, I was hungry and thirsty, going without food, shivered with cold, not enough clothes to wear. I've been bitten by vipers. I've been thrown in prison. I've been given a thorn in my flesh, but his grace is sufficient. I asked God to remove it 3 times, but he replied, no, his grace is sufficient. Brothers and sisters, I got great news for you today, this afternoon. I don't care what you're going through, God's grace is sufficient. Can I get an amen? It's sufficient. He said, I'm persecuted but not forsaken, knocked down but I'm not knocked out. And with all these light afflictions, it's all for the glory of God. Light afflictions, did you hear what I said? I'm glad he didn't put any heavy ones in there. He said, all these light afflictions are all for the glory of God. Now, what's your problem? We haven't even scratched the surface yet, have we? Not hardly. No. No. He said, for where I am weak, then I'm strong. He said, in other words, hell has thrown the gates of hell has thrown the kitchen sink at me, and I'm the winner. Hallelujah. I got great news for you, brothers and sisters. You can storm the gates of hell with a water pistol and win. Did you hear what I said? Amen. That's who we are in Jesus Christ. Like I said before, don't you believe the devil's lies. And then when he was at the end of his journey, he said this, the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me to on that day. And not to me only, but all those who love his appearing. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. You will all have Zeke-like experiences. Amen. You will. Every one of us. It's the bottom of the barrel, end of the rope. I had a friend in Florida here some years ago that he called me and he knew I was in town, and great friend of mine. Went to South America together on a missions trip, and his world was falling apart. Just falling apart. His son was a pastor and his wife had left him for another man, and he just kept going and on, and he just wept and wept and said, Joe, can you pray for me? I said, yeah, I'll pray for you. Laid my hands on it and prayed for him. And don't you think, Brother James, guy comes over there and where we were praying, snarls at us and says, what's wrong with you guys? He's one of these charismatic space cadets, I call him. Yeah, but if you'd be living for the Lord and you'd be doing this and you'd be doing that, and you just wouldn't be going through all this trouble. I snarled back at him. I said, you don't have enough of God in you to make a used demon chase you. And I meant it. Sometimes God just gives me those lightning bolts from heaven, you know. I want to tell you something. The more you get on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ, the more you want to do for him, there's going to be a battle out there. Y'all guarantee you. But we have a great God. And he always wins the battles. I don't know what you're going through this afternoon, but I want to tell you something. If life gives you a lemon, make lemonade. Amen? Make lemonade. Remember what happened to Fanny Crosby? When that doctor put that eye salve on her eyes, that wrong salve, and she became blind, she didn't go hire 100 lawyers and sue the doctor. She wrote him after him after him after him after him. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. We're still singing it today. Amen. So many times we just want to quit, walk out. Quit and walk out. I want you to say something with me. I'll say it and then you say it after me. When I'm down to nothing, God's up to something. Say it with me. When I'm down to nothing, God is up to something. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I could tell you story after story how he bailed me out. I want to tell you something. Jesus hasn't forgotten you. He knows exactly. The Bible says that the hairs on the top of your head are numbered. Now this morning I took a comb through my hair and some came out, but he still knows. Amen. Hallelujah. That's the God we serve. Amen. So what did David do? Let me bring out some points. this afternoon. The Bible says he encouraged himself in the Lord. Now, how did he do that? You can't just read that and let it go. He went to the Scripture. He didn't say, "Why me, Lord?" He said, "Try me, Lord." And I believe he went, here's where Psalm 27 comes in at. He said, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. He shall set my feet on the solid rock." What is that solid rock? It is Jesus Christ himself, the cornerstone, precious in the elect. Jesus said, "On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." When you're standing on the solid rock, hell cannot shake you. You will not bend or bow or burn in the day of adversity. You cannot be defeated, and you cannot be denied. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. That's the God we serve. He is still the shepherd, the great shepherd. He still leads and guides. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the first, the last, the beginning. He is the living Word, and he has all power in heaven and earth. He is your comforter at Ziklag. He is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He is the fourth man in the fire. And brothers and sisters, when you get there, he doesn't send somebody. He shows up himself. Glory, God. Oh, glory, hallelujah. Did you hear what I said? He's the fourth man in the fire. He doesn't send somebody. He shows up himself. That's the God we serve. Amen. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Let's bring it home to you. When is the last time you encouraged yourself in the Lord? Some of the best messages I ever preached to me, my brothers and sisters, is driving down the road, preaching to myself. Been there? Been there? Amen. Encouraging myself in the Lord. Listen to me. I don't do this to brag or anything, but when I'm driving, I got something in. I'm either listening to a CD that will edify, or do something for me, or lift me up. Just do something for me in my spirit. On the way home today, I'll have something that will encourage me, that will bless me. Encourage yourself in the Lord. And sometimes we just need to fall on our knees by our bedside and say, "Lord, examine me." A lot of times, now listen to me, choices have consequences. I said choices have consequences. Sometimes we just need to fall on our knees beside our bed and say, Lord, I something's wrong in my spirit. Something isn't right in here. Lord, I'm just not like I used to be. Lord, will you examine me? You know what he does? He gets out that spiritual knife and he begins to carve away at your heart. He might reveal all kinds of things that you're dealing with and say, this is what you're dealing with, and this has come between you and me, and it's not pleasing to me. And he begins to carve and do spiritual heart surgery. A lot of people will bark back and say, "That's not me." And he'll shout back, "Oh, yes, it is you. Oh, yes, it is you." Examine myself. Encourage yourself in the Lord. If you're at Ziklag this afternoon, God is still on his throne and everything's going to be all right. Amen? He's still got all power in heaven and earth. He's still the Lamb slain from the foundations of the earth. He's still the mighty God. He's still the everlasting Father. He's still the Prince of Peace. He is still the conqueror from Calvary. He is still the way maker through the wilderness. He's still there. He's still God. Remember what he said in Isaiah chapter 40? He said about the stars in the heavens. He calls them out by name and makes sure that none is missing. Now, if he'll do that for the stars, what do you think he'll do for you? Come on, church. He calls them out by name and makes sure that none is missing. What do you think he'll do for you? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Encourage yourself in the Lord and see what God has done for you. The second thing David did after he had encouraged himself in the Lord, he looked at what God did to him for in the past. Look at what God did for David in the past. He did not choose me to be king, a ready old kid. Didn't Samuel anoint me in my father's house with oil? Did he not allow me to kill the lion and the bear with my bare hands? Did he allow me to kill that uncircumcised Philistine Goliath with a sling and a stone? Didn't he keep me from killing Saul when I had a chance? Chance after chance, opportunity after opportunity? Talk to yourself. Encourage yourself and see what God has done for you in the past. You bring this home to you. Who are you in Jesus? What does Romans 8:31 start with? If God be for me, who can be against me? Nothing can separate us from the love of Jesus Christ. Are you not saved by the precious blood of Jesus Christ? Did not the angels write your name in the Lamb's book of life? Did God not say, I buried your sin in the deepest sea, never to be remembered against you anymore? And I love what Corrie Ten Boom said. He put a sign on the bank and said, no fishing allowed. Glory to God. Amen. Have you not been adopted into God's family? Listen, we got an election coming up in 2016. You want to elect a new president? God has elected us to be his sons and daughters. Now, who got the better end of the deal? Amen. We're sons and daughters of the Most High God. Glory to God. Look at your spiritual diary. Pull it down off the shelf. And go back through the years and just count the times that God has blessed you over and over and over and over again. How many of you, every one of us, has come to the Red Sea and you looked at that Red Sea and you said, oh God, it's no way possible. I can get through this. I can get through this problem. And God split the waters and you walked across on dry land. Brothers and sisters, I got great news for you this afternoon. He did it once, he'll do it again. Can I get an amen? Yes, he will. He'll do it again. That's the God I serve. Tell you what, I've come to many Red Seas and I thought there was no way across. But God has never let me down and I know he never will. Glory to God. Amen. Look at what you have. I'll never forget David Graham coming to our church. Oh, glory to God. David Graham, 32 years old, before he ever had a scripture in his hand. Down there in the Mount Vernon County Jail. And some Gideon, he was at our church. And anyway, some Gideon came in there and threw in one of these little testaments. And he opened that testament and he began to read. And he said, you've got to be kidding me. This Christmas story is true. You have got to be kidding me. 32 years old. Never had a scripture in his hand. And he says, and he went through that Bible and said, you've got to be kidding me. These are not fairy tales. These things are true. And he just went on and on and on and on. And he was preaching in our church and he went up that aisle, down this aisle, running up that aisle, down this aisle. And he looked at us and he said, brothers and sisters, do you know what you have? 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 Do you know what you have today, this afternoon? Do you really know what you have? Praise God. Hallelujah. I don't know if you're at a Red Sea this afternoon or not. Maybe you are sitting here this afternoon and fear has a grip on you. It has you around the throat. And you're filled with worry, apprehension, anxiety, about to throw in the towel. You think your enemies are too powerful. Well, I got great news this afternoon. We serve a majestic God, a great God, a God who's our deliverer, who's our fortress, who's our buckler, our high tower. He's a God that cannot fail. You cannot give him a problem he cannot solve. Can I get an amen? You cannot. Hallelujah. Let's go on here. Next thing David did, he sought the Lord in prayer. Look at the question. Shall I pursue? Shall I pursue this troop? That's not what I'd have said. That's not what you'd have said. I'd have said, mount up! We're going after them. And when we get there, God better be with them. Are you with me? But what did he say? I'm not moving here. I'm not moving from here until I hear from God. Bring me the ephod. That was a vest-like garment that the priest put on when he went to seek the Lord. He got on his knees. And he asked God the question, should I go after this troop? He said, I'm not moving from here. Now you get the picture. There's 600 men outside his gates wanting to stone him. When one or two want you stoned, it's not a good day. But when 600 elite soldiers, the very best, want you stoned, it's not a good day at the ranch. Are you with me? But what did David do? He was very foolish. He took all the whole army and went to a foreign land to fight a war, and he left nobody home to cover the home front. And when they get back, everything is burned with fire. David was a foolish man. They were going to stone him. But he said, I'm not going here. I'm not leaving from here till I hear from God. And then after he heard from God, he took action. He went after him. And the Bible says he recovered all. And here in verse 17 through 20, he says, 17 through 20, then David attacked them from twilight until evening of the next day. Not a man of them escaped except 400 young men on camels. Let's just stop right there. I've always had trouble with that verse. How do you escape from anything on a camel? Now think about it. In the picture of your mind, how do you escape from anything on a camel? When they have these horse races, there's not a camel in the bunch. Are you with me? So one day I got out every version I could possibly find. 12 different versions. Guess what they said? All said camels. I don't know how you escape from anything on a camel. But they did. That's why I got to believe it. But here it is. David recovered all. Not a wife was missing. Not a son was missing. Not a daughter was missing. Not a livestock was missing. Faith without works is dead. I said faith without works is dead. Nothing will work in your life until you do. Satan is just like the Amalekites. He wants to take everything from you. John 10:10. He's out to steal, to kill, and destroy. But I don't care what enemy you have, brothers and sisters. That enemy has been defeated by the blood of Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen on that one? Every enemy you have has been defeated at the cross, by the blood of the cross, by Jesus Christ himself. David recovered all. Did you get that? He recovered all. Has Satan lied to you? I'll just have to be this way. I'll just have to live like this. Just going to have to be like this. No. If David recovered all, you can recover all. Amen? Yes, you can. Yes, you can. What has Satan stolen from you? Has he stolen your joy? Your peace? Is your marriage falling apart? You can recover it. David recovered all. He went from tears, get the picture, from weeping till he couldn't weep no more. From tears to joy. Not a wife was missing, not a son was missing, not a daughter, nothing was missing. He recovered all. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And again, as I close here this afternoon, I want you to be honest with the Lord. Has he taken your joy from you? I don't know what it is. Could be anything. Robbed you. Stolen from you. You don't have the joy that you used to have. You don't have the peace that you used to have. You don't have that zeal for God like you used to have. To recover all, take action. In the garden, we lost it all. But at Calvary, we got it all back. I have a, and I really appreciate this church. I really do. I really sense a unity here and the love for God and the love for Jesus. And I just thank God for every one of you. I really do. I really sense that your heart is in the right place. And I thank God for every one of you. But I want to encourage your preachers, your leaders here, before I leave here this afternoon, to preach the word. I said, preach the word. Don't preach some decaffeinated, watered-down gospel that will not do nothing for nobody. And I know in a lot of our churches back in Holmes County, we have our dear friend, friends, a couple that they're so dissatisfied with where they're going, and they tell me all these things that are happening there. And I said, well, why don't you do something? I mean, there's churches out there that preach the gospel. There's churches out there that are still on fire for the Lord. Well, they said this small group we belong to. And I can see that. You know, you get attached to this small group and you don't want to leave there. And I'm not here to say, tell anybody to leave, to go anywhere. No, 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 not. No, no, no. But, they're just so dissatisfied. They're just so... I mean, they spend most of their time. This is how far it's gone. They bought a camper, and they spend most of their time at the lake on Sundays. You know, and they're just so discouraged. And they don't have a joy. They don't have a peace. Every time we see them, everything's wrong. And they didn't used to be that way, brothers and sisters. No. They did not. But then they complain about the preacher. Oh, this preacher, he gets all his messages off the internet and blah, blah, this. And he's just so boring and it's just no fire there. And it's just this and that and that and this. And you know, and it's just like there's just nothing happening. And what do you say to a couple like that? And I know the grace of God. I called it the other night. I called it hyper grace, greasy grace, or whatever you want to call it. It's everywhere. You can do what you want, when you want, however, how often you want. Just do it. Everybody else is doing it. The grace of God will cover everything. Let me tell you something. James, preach the word. Preach the word. Preach the word. I don't care where I go. People are still hungry for the word. The truth. The truth will set us free. And nothing but the truth will set us free. Amen, church. I just want to encourage you. I see tougher times on the horizon. Don't give up. Suit up. Mount up. Straight ahead. Don't look back. Stay on fire. Keep your zeal. Go, go, go. And in the end, it'll be worth it all. Can I get an amen? In the end, and believe you me, brothers and sisters, listen to me. Oh, glory to God. I don't hope for a better tomorrow. I know there's a better tomorrow. Did you hear what I said? I don't hope for a better tomorrow. I know there's a better tomorrow. Why do I say that? John 14. What did he tell the disciples? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you so. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Glory to God. Does that give you glory bumps? And Thomas said, I don't know the way. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Acts 1 and 11, two men in white apparel looked at the disciple. Why do you stand gazing? Say this with me. This same Jesus is coming back in like manner, just like you saw him go. Glory to God! That day is not far off. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel. And the trump of God and the dead in Christ will rise first. And we, that's you and me, will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. I don't hope for a better tomorrow. I know there's a better tomorrow. Can I get an amen? Glory to God. Hallelujah. And that day is not far off. Let's go all the way with him. Let's stay on fire. Let's not lose the zeal. Soon and very soon we sing the song. He's coming back. He's coming back for a blood-washed church. Can I get an amen? Yes, he is. But anyway, back to this grace bit. I'll do this and I'll be done. My second daughter. Wow. All I can say is wow. What a godly young woman. When I was her age, I don't even want to go there. She came home one night crying. She said, Daddy, I'm sick of it. She's talking about her school friends. How they've been sleeping around. This guy's better than this guy. They go to church. Some of them are on the worship team. She went in her bedroom. Came out with this. Let me read it to you. Dear blank, I want you to know that I'm not coming for you this time. I can't keep bailing you out. I've been taking your punishment for you, and I can't do it anymore. It hurts too much. It hurts more than you'll ever know. If you decide that you are finished abusing my friendship and are truly sorry, then I will return to you. But you must stop going back to your old wrong ways. You know better than that. I know you do. I will no longer be an accomplice to your sin. If you continue on your current course, then my friendship obviously means nothing to you. If it did, you would have stopped doing these wrong things a long time ago. When I saved you the first time we met, I've always been there for you. I bailed you out over and over. I have the scars to prove it. It pierces my heart every time I see you willing to do what you know is wrong. It breaks my heart and I cry, not for my pain, but for your soul that I will know will take the greatest punishment there is if you do not stop your wicked ways. Do you really think it would be this easy? That you could have fun, and if you messed up, I would just cover for you? A one-way relationship, you take and you take and you take and you take, and I should give. Well, it just doesn't work that way. You've given me a bad name. My sacrifice is not a license for you to sin. I've been giving you the opportunity to repent, but you just won't take advantage of it. Enough is enough. No more. Like I said, you aren't sorry for the things you've done, and I can't keep covering for you. But I will tell you this. If you ever reach the place where you become truly repentant and are ready to talk, I'll be there, as always, ready to pick you up and back you up. But you have to be ready and stay on the straight and narrow. I love you. I love you. I love you. I really do. And if you love me, you know what you need to do. I'll be there waiting. Love, Grace. Wow. How many of you know that was anointed by the power of the Holy Ghost when she wrote that? Amen. You just don't just write that. Church, let's be real. Let's just be real. Let's be the real deal. Hard times on the horizon? I believe so. But let's stay on the straight and narrow. Let's live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't back down from the truth. Not ever. Live for him on a daily basis. Not just on a Sunday for 2 hours. Or a Sunday afternoon. So many people come to church on a Sunday morning for 2 hours, walk out the church feeling good about themselves without being good, and then they live like hell the rest of the week. Next Sunday, same old thing. Really? Is that what the Christian walk's all about? No, it's not. I always say this, what happens between from Sunday to Sunday is what's important. Can I get an amen? Amen. That's who you really are. That's the real you. When the rubber hits the road tomorrow morning, Monday morning, that's the real you. Anybody can put on a mask and come to church on a Sunday morning. Amen. Come on, church. Anybody. I was one of those. But back in 1976, God got a hold of me. There's an old-fashioned preacher with no education came to town by the name of Andrew Jancy. I thought the man was a fanatic and a crazy guy, but I will tell you what. Going down the aisle, shirt tail hanging out, preaching the gospel, Brother James. Never forget that night as long as I live. I was trembling, shaking like a leaf. I made my way to an altar, called on God, and I've never been the same since. Glory to God. I used to work at night. And I tell you, the very night I came back from getting saved, the people around me knew it. What has come over you? After a week, I was a Bible thumper and a Jesus fanatic and a Jesus freak. I tell you what, I don't mind being the Jesus freak of the week. What about you? Amen? Call me what you want. I'm going to stay there. Serve him. Because in the end, it'll be worth it all. Amen. Praise God. Let's stand. Are you at Ziklag this afternoon? I'm not talking about a sin issue. I'm just talking that you're going through something that you say, God, why am I going through this? Why am I going through this? Got brothers and sisters here that are more willing to pray for you. Is there anybody here? Let me see your hand. And you're going through a Ziklag experience right now, and you have wept. You've cried tears. Anybody?